3, 2, 1.
Good morning, everybody. This is a seedling show, and guess what? It's a snow day. So here we are, ready for the snow. As you can see in my little square there, it's really snowing today. Maine and New Hampshire. So this is Alice. Hi. Uh-oh, I don't know if this will, here we go. Hi there. I'm all ready for the snow day today. And I'd like to send it down to my friend in Wells, Maine here.
Hi, everybody. This is Cheryl Oakes. I'm in Wells, Maine. Just came in from shoveling. It's a snow day. So we get to shovel multiple times today. And looking forward to a show with you. I'm going to send it a little further south to Bob in Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Well, good. Is it morning? Yes. Good morning. And yep, a lot of snow out there. And what is this? How many snow days have you guys had? Well, Cheryl, you and I are the same. What is this? Our fifth? Fourth?
Fourth
snow day. Down south, people are probably having a lot more. Alice, how many have you had?
This is our first.
Your first? Wow, you guys are tough up there.
Somehow we lucked out. I don't know.
Wow. So we'll be going to school until July.
Yeah.
And here we are. We haven't done a show since November because we are the Sometimes Seedling Show, coming to you every month. Just not sure which month that'll be. So we are trying to stick with our monthly shows, and we'll do better at that. But it's great to be here, and it's great to see you guys.
It's good to see you.
Yeah.
I'm keeping my hat on. It's cold. All right, so we're kind of loose with today's show. Who wants to start?
I'll start.
Okay.
We are kind of loose with today's show. We have a variety of our favorite topics that we have going on right now. And I'm going to start with information about smart houses, smart internet. And it all started with my new Ford Explorer Ruby. Because Ruby talks to me, and I can talk to Ruby, and I can say, you know, turn the radio on, turn my navigation system on, and it's just like another person in the car. My car is another person in my car. And then this Christmas, we had a present from our son, Nathan, and he gave us a Nest. And I don't know if you know what a Nest is, but it's a thermostat that you can control with a mobile app. It's also intuitive, so it learns about your schedule that you have in your house. When you wake up, it will turn your heat on. When you leave the house, it will turn the heat down. If you leave the house without turning the heat down and you want to check that it has happened, you can do that as well. So that really got me thinking and listening to different news reports about smart internet, smart house, smart appliances. So we have, for a couple of years now, we've had an iRobot Roomba. And, you know, that was really kind of cool to have because we could set up this robot. We could have the robot clean a room while we weren't home. And, you know, you come home to a clean house. So I guess that was our first thing, then my smart car, and now the smart Nest thermometer. And then it looks like if we ever started replacing some appliances, that there are a whole series of appliances. The one that I read about was from Whirlpool. And, you know, you can control your appliances, again, from your mobile device. So all of these things are coming together. And my question, you know, or what I was wondering about is, would I have replaced our thermostat in our house to get this interactive smart internet smart thermometer? Probably not, but now that we have, I really like it. And I think over a period of 2 years is what the Nest services are saying is what you'll get your payback on energy cost savings. So it works with your heat, it works with your air conditioner, it even takes into consideration the sun, angle of the sun that comes across the windows of your house, and figures in all of that. And then there's this cute little green leaf that shows up on the thermometer that tells you that you're saving energy. So I'm wondering about that. You know, how will people make these changes to these new smart internet devices? And then will they be like me? I call my car Ruby. We have our little iRobot vacuum cleaner that cleans the rooms, and my husband named him Wall-E after the movie. And then we just got this new Nest thermometer, and the thermometer has been named Alfred, the butler in Downton Abbey. So we're all very chummy with our new devices.
And in Batman, don't forget.
Right, right. Yeah. So that's my latest thing on devices, smart houses, smart internet.
Cool. This is a great subject because, I mean, there's no stopping it now. Obviously, we're heading in this direction, whether you like it or not. You know, part of my brain's like freaking out, you know, like we're so tapped in, and what happens when the infrastructure fails?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Are we totally, you know, going to be so intertwined? It's reminding me of the movie Her, which I know the three of us want to see, because mm-hmm. you know that relationship you're talking about with your appliances. And actually, after the show, I'll tell you, I have to complete a movie for a movie an iMovie course I'm taking right now, and this ties in. I want to pitch it to you guys, but I don't want to give it away yet. So
okay.
But it's funny because I thought of it this morning, and here you are talking about this relationship that we already have a relationship between our appliances, you know, negative or positive. You know, either I take care of them or I don't. But
right.
But now this is like it's giving you feedback. It's actually talking to you.
Yeah,
it's scary. You know, well, but it's.
But I think it raises a really interesting point about what we're teaching kids in terms of data and what data means. I think it's going to become really important for our people to understand and analyze what data can do for them and how they can improve their lives essentially through data analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't historically done a lot of that in school, I don't think. Or it's a small unit. So I think that could be a really interesting sort of move for our kids.
Yep.
What's the backup plan, though? Let's just talk about Nest. Did they talk to you at all about the backup plan? You know, what happens if you lose electricity, for instance? Does it,
well, if
does
we
it go down?
If we lose electricity in our house, our furnace wouldn't work anyways.
Okay.
So, we have a propane stove that is the backup to that.
And it's not connected to that?
No.
Not yet.
Right. But the thing is, if we lost the internet at our mm-hmm. house, we wouldn't be able to access it, but we would be able to have, you know, if we still had electricity, we would have heat. So, but that interactive piece, you know, we would lose because... and this is the other huge thing. We now have an IP address at our house for the Nest thermometer. We have an IP address for the Roku. We have an I also got a Netatmo. I have this little in-house / outdoor thermometer that monitors the carbon dioxide, monitors the humidity, monitors the indoor temperature and outdoor temperature, and that has an IP address. And then our wireless device, I mean our wireless router has an IP address. So right there we use four IP addresses, and then we walk in the door with phone, laptop, you know.
It's becoming a real issue. We have that at school. I mean, some people have three and four devices, but you know, I was also thinking about that with all the smart cars that are coming out and all this, you know, they've been showing the cars that are aware of other cars.
Yeah.
And that's all done wirelessly. So, you know, where it's like unbelievable the number of IP addresses that will be out there just zooming around. I don't quite understand.
Yeah.
How that'll all be distributed.
Yeah, well, again, I feel like I sound like we, you know, the teacher that's saying we've got to teach cursive, you know, but part of me is like, you know, I'm teaching my daughter driving right now. And, you know, I just saw a whole thing on NBC or whatever with the smart cars. And it's like, that's awesome. You know, that's incredible. You still need the skills if that mm-hmm. fails, though. Mm-hmm. And will we get sloppy without the skill? You know, part of me is like, okay, hang on, you know. And, you know, I'm all for it. And, you know, Cheryl, you know, God bless you. You're an early adapter. I mean, you really are. And I think, like, your blog post about Ruby where you had a struggle with the download.
Yeah.
The early adapters really do suffer because later on when the business finally gets the kinks worked out, the early adapters are like, they need a major overhaul or
yeah.
a complete reboot. So you're investing for us and get in really kind of working out the kinks. But yeah, I mean, the car things, that's excellent. But, you know, when you think about how vulnerable, all our systems are.
Right.
I'm reading Kevin Mitnick, Ghost in the Wire, right now, and boy, does that, you know, plague you. You know, are people going to hack into your car so that your car, you know, they suddenly have control of your car?
Yeah.
You know, is that going to be possible?
Yep.
I don't think yeah. George Jetson had many of those issues.
No. Yeah,
yeah, it's a wild world. I mean, it's definitely very interesting. I mean, this is you're right, Alice. Too, you talked about this is what we need to start talking about kids with right now, because metadata can be positive, as we're seeing through some of the, you know, activity that the NSA is revealing. It can also be used negatively, you know. So so this is definitely an interesting topic.
Yeah, sure is. So that's kind of like what I've been thinking about. And, you know, just like you say, we all need to be thinking about it. And we do have a question from our audience.
Oh, great. Excellent.
This might be a good segue between me and the next person. What have your districts been doing with the new charge for proficiency-based education, and how has technology helped guide those plans?
I can speak to that because we actually talked about it yesterday.
Aha.
So, well, it's not 100% clear what all the guidelines are at this point, but we have been looking at proficiency-based education as a shift to student ownership and responsibility for their learning. And I also think part of this question is how has technology helped to guide those plans? I think, Jeff, actually, that we're going to work a lot with kids in portfolio-based learning at this point. It seems that having a portfolio of all the work will help whoever's in charge of it kind of monitor And I think added to this is we also kind of are working with Common Core at the same time. And so they sort of work together in the sense of what we want kids to do is be able to document their learning all the way along. And so a portfolio type and a technology portfolio really makes the most sense in our world. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have talked about it yet, but.
Well, I'm going to bring in the special ed part of it because our high school is beginning those conversations about Common Core and proficiency and how we're going to document it. But in special ed land, we are kind of governed by the federal law and the federal mandate above the state law and mandate. So we're having to address the Common Core standards and how we're going to have students demonstrate that they've met those Common Core standards regardless of what their academic level is. So even in the essence of it is if you have an 11th grader who's still reading at the 8th grade level, you need to provide them with challenging material at their peer and grade level, and you need to be working towards that. And your accommodations and modifications that you make allow that student to perform at grade level with their peers, even though they're not quite reading at that level, meaning that they would listen to a book, or they would use media and visuals to get the content, and then they would demonstrate using guided written instruction and or slideshow and or media to get their points across. So that's been interesting because we're charging in that direction, and our high school isn't yet moving forward and making the Common Core what our instructional direction is until there's more direction from the state.
So we're going to the work that we're doing right now is we're looking at what every class would have as a cornerstone, starting mm-hmm. with the cornerstones. And then the big question is, are students able to pass a class but not pass a cornerstone? In other words, you have to have mastery in every...
Yep.
I guess the rub is, do they pass the cornerstones? Do they pass the class? Do they have to pass both? Mm-hmm. And so I think what we're talking about is they need to pass both right now. That's where we are right now. That could change. But I think we have decided that kids will have multiple opportunities to pass the cornerstones, but they also have to pass the class in order to graduate. It looks like some of our graduation requirements are possible to change, given that the proficiency-based model might call for more math and science requirements,
Yeah.
I don't know if that answers Jeff's questions, but...
Well, if it doesn't, he can pop another question. Bob, how about elementary level?
To be truthful, right now we're kind of centered on checking out the tests, you know, that our students are going to be taking. And a lot of the dialogue is mostly about, here's the test coming down, and they're going to have to type. And they're going to have to type their thoughts. And this is a fourth grader, and they're not proficient at typing, much less proficient at writing while typing. That's a skill that developmentally fourth graders aren't there yet. So that's kind of some of the feedback that I've been giving. Also, we just beta tested a test the other day where all the math could be done on paper, but then the students had to somehow show it on the computer, and that meant drawing with numbers with your mouse, which is, you know, even for me, that's pretty impossible. And, you know, I hear a lot of conversation like, well, all right, what do we got to do to get kids prepared for that? And it's like, well, maybe that's not where I don't know if I'm gonna bring into my lessons kids practicing drawing numbers. Maybe the tests have to get the feedback and say that's just not gonna work.
Yeah.
And since it takes a physical person to look at it anyway, what's wrong with paper? Of course, paper is cheaper, than computer, and who knows what the agendas are. But I will come back to this topic when I talk about a book that I just finished reading that brings in as far as perfect for portfolio and proficiency-based assessment, which is digital storytelling. And I'll talk a little bit about that. And it's a must-read for how well this book is connected to the Common Core and the standards, and shows that digital storytelling can't just be this peripheral thing, but really needs to be integrated as an essential part of the curriculum, and also that it's a natural evolution of what we've been trying to do all along. And hopefully that'll be a way to capture it. But it's a great book. I'll talk about that in a little bit.
Cool. Thank you, Jeff, for that.
Yeah. Now we can check that off on the we did it. Now I wonder if that pops up in the video, like his question actually visually pops up. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
I think we've had a question before, but I can't remember what happened. So just getting back to your Nest for a second, I just had a hard drive. I don't know if it's dead or not, but it's been giving me troubles for a while. It's one of my backup hard drives. So, just to get in and unplug it in my
Yeah.
shelf over here, like took me 10 minutes to find the right wires and all. Everything is so intertwined in a mess. I can't even imagine like trying to suss out the problem when your whole house is now having a relationship with each other. I just wanted to say that as a final comment to Nest. It's exciting and it's scary.
Yeah.
Well, and my wife, she I mean she She, we laugh about this, but she really doesn't know how to turn the TV on,
Yeah.
And she's like, if you're not home, I don't watch anything. So, because we got the ITV, we got, it's
Yeah.
just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Are we out of control, there's good reason for the, you talk about the car thing, that's more than candy. That's safety. I love
Yeah.
that,
Yeah. But, and how many months, because I don't think it's years, how many months will it be where our TV remote will listen to us say, I want to turn on channel 6. I want to turn on MPBN. I want to turn, we're not going to have, we're in that sticky, gooey place where things don't automatically talk to one another, and we, the human error, has to navigate between those different devices. And I say we're months away from having that audio, or being able to just talk to something and tell it to do what we want it to do.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. There's going to be a lot of changes coming. Think about the economic change where, you look at what happened with Target and everything, and they look at the European model with the chip inside the computer, et cetera. We're gonna go away from currency. There'll be a time in the not too distant future where you'll go into a shop and say, "Do you take cash?" And you remember we used to say, "Do you take credit cards?" Eons ago, and Bitcoin and things like that. I mean, there's going to be a real disruption here, and I have no idea how they're figuring out how those changes are going to happen, but they will happen.
We have a comment from Carolyn Stanley. Hi, Carolyn. And she says, hi, Bob, Alice, Cheryl. I don't have a question for you right now. Just saying hello from snowy Connecticut. So not only is it snowing in Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Connecticut, Rhode Island, it's New Jersey, it's going south. And she says she saw Jeff's question and she sympathizes with Bob's wife. She's just figuring out the TV remote, Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn. Good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is,
Well,
oh, you were just saying we're like at this cusp. Oh, there was something else I was going to add to it. I'll think of it.
economics, Bitcoin.
Oh, Canada, no pennies, gone.
Really?
Wow.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Yay!
Wow.
Death to pennies.
Right. So when we came back and somebody handed me 2 cents, I went, ah, this is annoying. But Canada got rid of the pennies.
Wow.
That's interesting. Yeah. A friend of mine's son is now working for Bitcoin because he thinks it's so, he thinks it is the way to go. And he just left a job, a very good job, to go join Bitcoin.
Let's explain Bitcoin because I'm sure people haven't heard. I mean, I know very little about it.
Me too.
Again, I think it's, I don't know, this could be the wrong statement, but I mean, is it, you know, being used for illegal activity? It must, right? I mean, there's no trace of your currency at all. Is that how it?
I kind of understood it to be like an internet currency. And what I always think about is when we used to do a lot in Second Life, and we bought Linden dollars. How is that different? They're virtual money, like other virtual things that we've come to know and use. So I guess that's how I've been thinking about it, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe we can have an expert of Bitcoin come on, because I haven't read much about it. But from what I understand, it's completely anonymous. It's not like PayPal. I mean, you're really putting your money into a system that just doesn't trace back to you. But more and more legit places are accepting Bitcoin as payment. So I think it's on the horizon.
Carolyn also just gave us another observation. They had a brand new propane gas heat furnace, and the circuit board got fried, and they were without heat for 24 hours because, you know, the technician had to order one, didn't have a replacement available. And Carolyn, that happened to us as well. You know, the circuit board
because
stopped.
Because they're so new, you mean?
Right.
Wow.
Well, I think we were going to talk a little bit about iMovies today. Do we still have time for that?
Yeah, and I think, Alice, did you have some topic or?
Oh, just a very quick comment. So,
all right, go ahead, Alice, and then I would love some feedback on a project I'm doing with fourth graders, and I thought this would be a great forum. So go ahead,
okay.
Alice.
Okay, well, my really quick thing is just that if people haven't had a chance to go to the new Google for Education site, you really should. I know that I've been hearing lots of people wanting to do Google training, get certified. And so they've completely revamped their site, which we'll put in the show notes or in the DIGO group. And they have a lot of resources in there for people. So you can get individually certified, or you can become a trainer. And then there's also the information about Google Certified Teacher. So I just encourage you to take a look. There's a lot of new resources in there. And that is all I wanted to bring up.
That's cool. Awesome. That's great. Okay, so I'll try to set the stage for this project that I'm doing with my fourth graders and how I've changed things in the classroom. I'll try to do this quickly. If you haven't been reading my blog, I've changed to centers in the lab, which is working out beautifully. And I could do a whole show on one role in the centers, which is geniuses, based on Apple geniuses. And those are students that go around and help out with the other students. And boy, has that helped with retraining and confidence and everything. So in doing, we do a integrated unit, and it's called Many Ways to Tell a Story. So with the art teacher, our phys ed teacher, our music teacher, our librarian, and myself, it's all about dance and using, I can't think of his first name, but Mazursky's piece called Night on Bald Mountain, and movement and expression, and they make masks in art, and they use their bodies in dance to express emotion. It's an incredible integrated unit, and happens very quickly, and but a lot of work goes into it, and it's just wild to watch the students grow. Well, they used to do just pictures and poetry with me, but this year I wanted to give them three choices of how they were going to express what they learned. This project ended way back in November. My project's still going because it's taking so much time for students to really get their work done, but it's so worth it. That's one thing that I've learned this year with the changes that I've made is less is more, and the further they go into it, the more they learn. So I'm going to try to share my screen here and just show you what three choices we have, and then I'll talk about the one that I want some feedback on. So I'm gonna. Why control using some open system preferences.
We can see it.
Okay, yeah. Great. See, I got something that said now. So there, that's my little genius.
G.
Thing. So the G is for the genius.
Yeah.
Unit. Now, do I control this by the other page, right? So yes, Matt, do you see it moving? Okay.
Yep.
So anyway, here's the choices just quickly. And this is a lot to have three major projects going at once, but it is so exciting watching everybody working on their own thing. So choice number one is making a book creator where students will take a picture of the mask that they create. There's a mask. I don't know if you can see that there. And they need to make two pages. And this is for those that want to do more talking than writing. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to take a picture of their mask, possibly a picture of themselves doing the dance or their mask again. And they are reflecting on their character and what emotion they chose and how they did the how they created their mask to show that and how they danced to show that. And so they're talking about levels. They learned about levels, high levels in dance, medium levels, low levels, and what they did with those different levels. So they've done a lot of writing. They had to really find a discrete part of what they wanted to talk about. We'll come back to choice number two. That's the big one that I'm going to ask about. Choice number three is using PixPlay Pro app, which is a great digital manipulation photography app that I have on the iPads. And so they again are taking a picture of their mask or something else, and then working with the emotion that they made that mask and doctoring it up. For instance, you see this door right here as an example. That's a movie that they would play. It wasn't pink, so they're changing it to meet their emotion. And then they write a Cinquain poetry or something thereabout to express that same thing. So that's for people that want to get more into the photo manipulation and also the poetry section. Then as a larger group, so these people are working solo. The book people are working solo too, and then they just help each other out and they put together a final book. Then choice number two is the iMovie trailer. So this is to talk about a very discrete part of the process of learning that happened in one of the iMovie trailers. Now, the thing is that an iMovie trailer is, 60 seconds at the longest, maybe a couple that are over a minute, but they're really short. So here's a storyboard. It's very small, but here's just a storyboard template. And you really cannot write a lot in the iMovie trailers, which is a pro and a con. You know, I wish they could slow them down a little bit so that they could get a little bit more writing in there. But also, we don't have a lot of time. Mm-hmm. What students have done is before they even got to learning how to put the movie together or doing their storyboard, and I'm going to try to come back to me now. How do I stop sharing?
Just click on the second button down again.
Okay. So there we go. All right, so they've done all this writing about very discreet points in the performance, and it has blown my mind at how much writing they've done independent from me, because I'm running around, and how they have like slowed down time in these moments of performance. For instance, they come with a focus, dance, too big. too big. So I say, you got to get more focused. So one group says, okay, there's this one point where they jump and they do a 180 turn, and they are focusing just on that moment in the show, which is so, and so then they write pages and pages and pages and go back and start circling to get it smaller for the iTrailer movie. There's one group that talked about what it felt like to take the mask off.
Mm-hmm.
Not even the mask, not the making of the mask, but actually taking the masks off. You know, very discreet things. So unfortunately, these students have done all this work. They could not do the filming. I had to do that for two reasons. One, I had to only film students that could be on the web, that have permission. And two, they're doing the dancing and acting. Oh, yeah. So I had to do the filming. So they're using my footage, and they're bringing that into the trailer. But what I'm worried about is